Welcome to Energy in Action. I'm your host, Barcy Young, and as a Mito patient myself, I appreciate you and the community you've helped us to build. This podcast honors the triumphs and struggles of patients and families affected by this disease and celebrates the work being done by doctors and researchers every day to make it a safer world for our people. We are a support group and a podcast focusing on all things related to mitochondrial disease. Welcome to another episode of Energy in Action. I'm really excited to have these two wonderful women on with me today. Jacqueline and Alexa Child, they have created a company, a service that is going to be of interest to many of our listeners today. And I'm so glad that they've done with it, all the work that they've done. And I can't wait for them to tell you about it and for them to tell us all about themselves and how they got their start. And I guess let's just jump into it. And ladies, tell us about your app. That's what this is, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to share Datability with everyone. And, you know, it's been something that is really special to us. And we're excited that, you know, we're embarking on our second year or our third year of this journey. But overall, Datability is the only dating app designed for disabled and chronically ill people. And we invite all people with all types of disabilities to join. We have those with psychiatric, physical, intellectual disabilities, chronic illnesses. And we also welcome and encourage non-disabled people to join because, you know, to be inclusive, we want to invite everyone and welcome everyone. And there are a lot of people out there who don't see disability as a negative thing. And we just want to create a safe and inclusive platform where people can make any sort of connection that they desire.
I love this. I think this is so important. And me personally, I've been with my husband since college, but I think about that a lot, that I have a lot of limitations. And he's been with me since before those limitations, but I think about what dating might have been like if I didn't meet him as early in life as I did. And I mean, I give great thought to that. And I also think about, you know, what a blessing he is in my life. But I want everyone in our mitochondrial community and any disability community to feel like they are able to find a connection, a partner, as easily as someone without. I hate to think that it stands in their way.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you found that. And unfortunately, it does stand in the way of people meeting connection and meeting people. And it stood in my way personally. I am disabled due to chronic illnesses. I became disabled when I was 14. I have, you know, rare diseases that have led me to have over 40 surgeries. I deal with symptoms every day. And I experienced this rejection on the dating apps at any mention of chronic illness or disability. We are from Colorado, and so everyone is just like, you know, where are we going to go on a hike this weekend? How many days did you ski last year? And it always felt like there was so much pressure around like giving the right answer and trying to find someone who wouldn't judge me for not being able to do those things. And so it was a really difficult experience having to date on the other apps. And I just couldn't believe that there wasn't anything out there because, you know, you hear about dating apps for all these different types of interests, hobbies, groups of people. And of course, like the world's largest minority didn't have one.
I'm so glad that you guys have done this work. I feel so grateful to know that this app is out there. And today marks the 2-year anniversary of Datability. So congrats to both of you. So how did this idea come to be? You know, you spoke about your illness a bit, but and how, you know, it became frustrating in your own dating life. So did you guys sit down and make a business plan? Tell us a little bit about how it actually came to be.
Yeah. You know, Jacqueline and I are sisters and we've lived together for almost 8 years now. And so I would watch her on her dating journey and constantly either get rejected due to her chronic illnesses, disabilities, or be the subject of offensive comments, and whether on the app or off the app, in person. And it was always the thing that we talked about, dating with a disability and creating a safe space. But it didn't, push didn't really come to shove until she decided with her medical team that she needed to get a feeding tube and that would change her quality of life for the better. And it was a life-saving procedure. But we both panicked as to how that would look for dating and socializing, even our relationship. Food and drink really is the universal tool in society. That's what brings people together. And so not being able to have three meals a day or have to explain to somebody that she gets her nutrients through a formula through her stomach at night is something that we both kind of freaked out about. And I, you know, we decided that the time to make this app was then. And, you know, it was also the height of the pandemic. It was 2021. And so there was also a lot of isolation surrounding that and COVID precautions. And we knew that she wasn't alone in that. And that's when we started building it. And we had no technological experience. We basically Googled how to build an app and found somebody that we thought would be able to bring our vision to life. And we had a notebook and drew all of our images and descriptions out. It was really, from the moment we came up with the idea, we just like started doing it instinctually and just really with like our bare hands. We had no idea what we were doing, but we learned and we took all of our, you know, our favorite features from other apps and put that into ours. And just was like, yeah, I mean, we wanted the app to feel modern. And if someone had been on a dating app, that they would know how to use Dateability. And we wanted to give our community something that was like cool and fresh and makes it seem like you're using any other dating app.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think it makes it even more impressive that you really just drew this up, as you said, within a notebook. And so you had, you said, one friend with some tech experience that helped you get off the ground?
Not a friend. Somebody we hadn't met, but we found on a tech consulting website. You know, we didn't know what questions to ask or, you know, exactly what to ask for to verify.
It's like a foreign language.
Yes. And so, you know, we spent about 9 months with this person working on building the app. And when it came time to test the beta version, we realized that what we wanted was way out of this person's skill set and league. And it's really like an uh-oh moment. And what did we do? And we got very lucky that we found local tech consultants within the Denver metro area that stepped in. It was kind of kismet that we found them at a crisis. And they brought our vision to life and helped us do a few iterations of the app based on, you know, customer feedback. But now we have an in-house tech team and they're wonderful and they were recommended to us by personal contact. So as time went on and it grew, so did our knowledge and we knew what to ask for when evaluating whether or not they'd be the right people for the job. And so we're happy and we've come a long way.
Wow. And is it, are there any special features for those with disabilities on the app?
Yeah, something that I really struggled with, as I mentioned, is disclosing my disability. And it like never felt like there was a right time, but it also felt like it someone needed to know because it did determine what type of dates I could be on. And it has really shaped the person who I am. And I'm proud of, you know, all the perspective that I've gained. Mm-hmm. Chronically ill. Mm-hmm. But that disclosure part was really tricky. And so we wanted to make it a neutral and just a natural way of disclosing. So we created the Dateability Deets section, and it's just a list of broad terms that can describe someone like chronic illness, wheelchair user, immunocompromised, you know, neurodivergent. And so you can just add that those tags to your profile and it shows up. It's totally optional. And it really, it strikes a balance between disclosing but not divulging all that personal information that someone, you know, might feel like they should earn.
I like that.
that they have to earn it. Yeah.
That is true for everyone, disabled or not, right? And so, you know, we don't believe that you should put it all out there, even if it's not about your chronic illness. In the beginning, I do think things are earned with trust, and sharing information is a privilege. And so with the Datability Deet section, that was the other thing, is that we didn't want it to read like a medical chart, right? We didn't want it to be sterile or sound, you know, so medical and clinical. And
we all have to go through that enough as it is, right?
We made it, left it broad, and that was really helpful. And we've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Your PR has been off the chart. I mean, when I first learned about your app, and then I was able to Google it and see all the publications and media sources that had interviewed you and have focused on the app. First, it means that it's really needed. But second, that you're able to capture their attention. Mm-hmm. You'd make any college professor very happy, any PR college professor. As a journalism student, I'm thinking about my background and all you've achieved in terms of beyond the app, but the PR for the app. So when you have a big story, you know, published in a magazine or on a website, or I guess both most of the time, what happens to the site? What do you see?
We definitely see an uptick in users, and that has been our main way of getting the word out. We're a bootstrapped company, and so we don't have a budget to, you know, widely market Datability. And it's really, advertising is really expensive, and we wish we could mass advertise, but we do rely on that press. And, you know, we are so fortunate that the press has been really receptive to us, and we don't have a PR person. It is
you.
Yeah, it's me.
You don't need one.
I simply cold email journalists and write a really short email pitching the idea, and either I hear back or I don't. And then even sometimes when those articles come out, someone will contact us and say, I want to write a story or want you to come on our podcast. And so it's really, really helpful. And we definitely attribute our growth to the press that we received.
Wow.
I mean, for any of our listeners, if you Google Datability, there are a lot of articles about the app. And I'm very proud of the two of you. You've done quite significant work. It's very needed. So where do you see the app going in the next couple of years? What's your vision?
We are planning on expanding globally. It'll be a step-by-step process, but we're starting at the end of this year. We just started monetizing, so we will always have a free version. And that's something that was really important to us, to not make it only technologically accessible, make the community, you know, morally and value-wise accessible, but make it economically accessible. And so we have a subscription model. So there's a free version, then there's a subscription that's $4.99 a month, and it has enhanced filtering and a couple of other features. We want to build on that. We want to expand globally. And you know, 5-10 years from now, we really see Datability becoming a household name and having people really have that brand awareness and knowing what it's talking about. Disabled people and non-disabled people, there's so much stigma and hesitancy to talk about, you know, disability and intimacy. And we want to change that and really put it at the forefront of the conversation that disabled people hook up, they get married, they want relationships, they want to experiment. And so that is something that's important to us. And I think in 5 to 10 years, those conversations will be less taboo than they are now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To see some, you know, weddings, that would be really exciting. We have success stories. Even 2 years. Yeah. So it's really, really cool to see when people reach out to us and tell us that they met their partner on Datability. And it really shows our diversity among our user base. And our success stories have such a variety of disabilities and chronic illnesses. And with the exception of one couple, all the couples have different disabilities, and they complement each other. And so it's really, really amazing to see. Yeah, the success stories have been awesome. And for so long, every time we did an interview, people would ask us about success stories and we didn't have any. And now I can say we have quite a few. And I think, you know, when dating apps started and they became really popular, I think the belief was that the more users you had, the more successful it was going to be. And so the goal was always to get millions and millions of users. And I do believe that dateability will be there one day. However, I also think there's something important about community. And I see a difference in dating now versus when my parents and grandparents dated. It can be daunting. It can be overwhelming. I know for me, I'm not disabled, but going on, you know, Hinge or Bumble, Tinder, there are so many options. It just feels like finding a needle in a haystack. And sometimes I'm like, I'd rather just not do this. And so we like to think that we're recreating dating the way the older generations dated, but bringing it online. And so we're bringing everyone together because there's some commonality and we're not making it as daunting or overwhelming, but still giving somebody enough options that they're able to experiment and to, you know, cast that wide net and figure out what works for them and what doesn't. And so we're excited.
Yeah, I think on the dating apps that have so many users, you always fear as like, both the person swipe like being swiped on and the person swiping that there's someone better out there, and that, oh well, what if, like, you know, the next swipe is the actually the person that I'm supposed to be with. And so that can be really intimidating to go in and know that you have an option of, you know, 25,000 people who actually meet your preferences. Like, that is scary to have to swipe on that many people. While on dateability, it's a little more intimate, and you at least weed out the people who are going to discriminate you for your disability.
Yeah, yeah. None of us deserve any offensive comments.
No. And I definitely have been on the receiving end of a lot, like people saying that I shouldn't have any biological children because I on my illnesses. You know, people saying that their friends would say that they were surprised that this person would date someone like me, or their parents would warn them not to date someone with chronic illnesses because it would be too burdensome. And so I think that's something that people in our community hear a lot. Yeah. And, you know, I was really ashamed of the comments I was receiving. And so I, for years, just kept it in my close circle. But I've learned that it's sadly very relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough to open up to anyone, to friends, to, you know, people you're forced to talk about it with. I always take like a deep breath and I kind of read someone's face and I try to decipher how they're going to take what I'm about to tell them, you know, and it's really challenging. But now, do you see, you know, you mentioned that there's an area to kind of give a vague description of what you battle on a daily basis, what, you know, what type of illness or, you know, chronic condition. When you look at your analytics, is it pretty even across the board in terms of who's using the site?
So the majority of users are not, I wouldn't say the majority, but the highest percentage of users have physical disability, chronic illness, and chronic pain. And we are very split evenly between those who identify as male and female, which is unusual for a dating app. They're usually inundated with men. And we also have a very large queer community. And that also tracks with the statistics regarding the LGBTQ plus community overlapping with the disability community. So almost half of our users identify as queer. And we are very welcoming to any gender identity and those with sexual orientations.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really interesting, too, to see the even split between men and women and like who's getting involved in this, you know?
Yeah.
So when you're filling out the profile, you know, I live in Ohio. So what... I mean, it's so challenging to date as it is, you know, would I only be looking for people in my region? Could I filter that out?
So right now, because our user base, even though we have over 26,000 users and that's growing every day, we do have the option of either turning a location filter on or off. And so what within a geographical radius up to 100 miles, you can decide, or you can turn it off and see who meets your preferences on the app, regardless of location. And we have had success stories start out as long distance relationships. And, you know, I think that that's actually a feature that the other dating apps make you pay for. And, you know, being in Colorado, I always think that maybe my person isn't in Colorado and they're somewhere else and I would have to import them. And I think that that's a really cool feature. I also think different cities, you know, treat disability differently and their cultures are different. Mm-hmm. So unique opportunity to expand your social network. And I think it's awesome. And I think that our users would agree. But I also understand that for, you know, that does pose accessibility challenges depending on one's disability. And so give everyone the option. And we really do want to make Dateability a user-driven app.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand what you're saying. There's a good chance that the perfect person for someone isn't necessarily in their city. You know, I'm just thinking about myself. Like, I'm so exhausted all the time. Like, the idea of traveling is, oh, you know. And I know I'm not the only one, especially with this podcast listening community, that would feel the same. So, but maybe some would disagree with me and, you know, would venture out farther than, you know, what I would possibly find comfortable. So I love that there's an option.
Or the person could come to you. I think the thing that we forget is that disability is so diverse, mm-hmm. and not everyone disability manifests in the same way. And so, yeah. While, like, especially Jacqueline, too, has chronic fatigue. And so that would be something that she would have to think about. Another disabled person might not have to think about that at all. Yet they can come to Jacqueline. And so it kind of makes you think outside the box and look outside yourself. And I think that that's something that's an exciting experience as well.
Yeah. One of our success stories started out as long. I think they're still long distance, but they're a state away. And you know, the first time that they got together was when she was recovering from surgery, and he flew in to take care of her. And I believe he's the one who's been traveling to her. And so it's just like, it's so amazing to see, you know, the compromises people will make, the sacrifices for love.
Yeah. You guys are in a great business. You know, some people work in insurance or, you know, banking, and it's like, not quite as exciting or heartwarming as everything that you guys are doing. It's amazing.
It's true. It is. And it's so rewarding. And
yeah.
It's us. Like, it's something that everyone can practically relate to. And or if even if they can't, it's like they like hearing about it. And so it is.
Everybody loves love, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about your blog. I was really impressed with the articles that you have on your site relating to dating with chronic illness. Did the blog come before the app, or had you been, you know, writing before all of this?
You know, I did a few articles on the Mighty, and I really liked doing that. It was just a way for me to express myself in a space that other people would understand. Before Dateability, I didn't have anyone in my circle who had any chronic illnesses or disabilities. And so there's only so much that non-disabled people can understand. Even if they love you more than anyone, it's still difficult. And so I enjoyed writing up for the Mighty for a little bit. And then that took a backseat. And then we created the blog to just, you know, share stories for, you know, people like to write and people like to share whatever they've got going on. And so we like to keep it broad, and we invite people to submit blog posts about whatever topic they may want to share about.
Oh, so it's open for others to. Oh, maybe I didn't read all the bylines, but I guess I just assumed that they're yours.
Not all of them.
Your favorite one?
Not Jacqueline's.
Yes.
Plot twist. No, she's kidding. No, yeah, we want to amplify disabled voices. And, you know, like I said, really share these conversations. We view ourselves as more than just an app. We view ourselves as part of a larger movement. And so that's what the blog serves.
I think that's one of the most powerful things that you guys have said thus far. And everything you've said has been wonderful. But, you are definitely part of a movement, and anything else that you can kind of bring into the Dateability site, app, whatever, you know, is going to be really powerful for anyone in that, you know, in our community. I'm curious, do you know if anyone with mitochondrial disease has paired up from your site?
I don't know, but if there's anyone listening who has,
that'll be the next episode.
Yeah, we have people with various chronic diseases, various rare diseases. So very well, there might be someone out there who has.
Well, after today, maybe there'll be more.
Exactly.
So, Jacqueline, working for someone that doesn't understand your illness can really take a toll. So this setup seems like quite a blessing for you. I'd love for you to start this conversation, but, you know, tell us about, I mean, in my mind, it would be a relief to not have to answer to someone that really doesn't understand you. But I want to hear from you how this feels, how this business setup feels with your sister.
Yeah, well, my employment journey is very short because this is my first job. You're absolutely right. Like, sometimes working with a chronic illness is impossible. And I think that, managing not only my symptoms, but of course, like doctor's appointments, procedures, surgeries, whatever it is challenging. And I think people with chronic illnesses can often be seen as unreliable or inconsistent. And, you know, there's a lot of places out there who won't hire someone who is chronically ill or disabled. And, you know, there's ways to get around that where it doesn't look like it's discrimination, but it is. And so this has really been powerful for me because I did struggle with finding that, feeling like I didn't have a purpose before. I felt like I went to college, I got my master's degree, and I really had all these big plans for myself. And then once I actually finished with school, I mean, I've been chronically ill since I was in high school, but my health even took more of a spiral after finishing up my master's degree. And so I wasn't able to follow through with my plans. And it was really hard. And I felt like I didn't feel like I was lazy, but I felt like people would perceive me as lazy. I knew what I was so busy, doctor's appointments every day. There was just no way I would be able to work. And so now that I have that opportunity to, you know, work for myself and work alongside Alexa, who obviously understands what it means to be chronically ill, it's really just like the only way I feel like I would be able to have a job. And so I create my own schedule. I answer to myself. I can take naps. I can take days off. And I just, the most important thing for myself is to know that like rest is productive, and that if I burn myself out physically, it's just going to be worse in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys seem to have a lovely relationship, and I'm so fortunate that you have Alexa so that the two of you can kind of bounce back and forth and do this together. Alexa, what does this mean to you?
Jeff and I have been close for a really long time now, but I love
you say that like we weren't close.
Sir, we don't get like ever really fight.
Yeah, nothing.
We're closer than we were, and we've been that way for a long time. And it's been really nice to see Jacqueline, you know, I guess feel useful, feel like she has a purpose. I know she really struggled with that before, feeling like her education was going to waste. And we would always remind her, like, no one knows what the future holds, and it's not that way at all. But, and that we don't view her as lazy. But now seeing that she feels like she's a part of something has been really cool. And to be a part of that something is also really awesome. And I love, you know, giving back and using privilege for better. And so I'm happy that we're the ones spearheading this.
Very well said.
I'm so glad to have met the two of you. I feel like I've learned a lot of something that's really important, something that I want to share on our support calls and talk about dateability. And it's, I do think that the future is very big for your company. And I'm really excited. It puts a huge smile on my face to think that there's more opportunity for those who need it, you know, in this way.
Well, thank you. And yeah, we truly couldn't do it without the support from our community. And, you know, we didn't have these connections before. And so we've just been learning so much. We've been meeting so many incredible people who have been working tirelessly to advocate for themselves and for the community as a whole. And so we're incredibly grateful that we connected and that we can share dateability with the Mito community.
Well, we are happy to have had you on our podcast. Thank you, ladies, so much for being here. Now, if you want to create a profile, they can download the app. They can go to your site on a computer. Tell our listeners what they need to know real quick.
Yeah, you can download it on Apple or Android, and then you can also access the app from your computer, from a browser, dateabilityapp.com. And as Alexa mentioned, we have a free version and we have a subscription model for $4.99 a month. Just some added benefits. And if you can date more efficiently by subscribing to Dateability Plus. And we're always here for feedback or for questions or concerns. And you know, you can follow us at Dateability App on Instagram as well.
And we have a YouTube channel with a lot of helpful tutorial videos.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So you made it very easy.
We try.
Well, hopefully those listening who are interested will log on and create a profile really soon. Thank you, ladies, so much for being here. And thank you for all of the work that you're doing. And hopefully we will talk again very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to browse other Energy in Action podcast episodes. I am so inspired by the resilience of those in previous episodes, and I know you will be too.